I don't think I mentioned it in the last couple of weeks, but we are together this evening at 6:30 to worship and wait on God. It's the second Sunday of the month, and so we'll be here if you're able to join us. And if you're not, I'm sorry. I'll give you more notice next time. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33 says, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." I've been caught up this week reflecting on the bigness of God. And I want to think with you over the next few weeks about that phrase in Romans 11, verse 36. "For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Paul, having spent time talking about God's redemptive plan of salvation, gets to the end of Romans 11 and just stops to give him praise. He's going to go on in Romans 12. "Therefore, in view of God's mercy," offer your lives as a living sacrifice. But as he thinks of the way in which God has worked his redemptive plan of salvation out, he stops just to marvel at who God is. And so I want to spend some time with you reminding ourselves of the magnitude of God, of how utterly glorious he is. He is great. But not just in the sense that we reflect on his goodness and go, "We like it." He's great because he's just utterly huge. Greatness is his character and his attribute. And before there was anything, he existed. Before there was anything, he was. Psalm 90 in verse 1. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Psalm 102 in verse 25 says, "In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will train them, change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Speaking of himself, Revelation 22 and verse 13, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Isaiah 40 and verse 28, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." I don't know if you've ever found yourself at points wondering what life must have been like back then. I don't know if you've ever watched a documentary on history, read a story, and found yourself going, "I wonder what life was like back then." A little while ago, Jane's mom and stepdad were over And Jane's stepdad's big into Vikings. And there's a Viking museum in York. So we went. And you sit on this little, I was going to say tractor, but that's not the right word, ride. And it takes you around these various depictions of Viking life in York. It seems worlds apart from the world in which we lived. We didn't understand most of it because I, in my brilliance, decided to put Japanese and German on as our narrations. But watching these people thread sticks together, cook over fire, sit and write in the mud and do various weird things, it was like a different world. And I wondered, what would I be like if I lived back then? And my answer was probably dead. But there are times where you see something of the past and it seems ridiculous. But there's not been a point in history where he did not exist. There's not been a time in this world that he has not seen and be present and part of. There's not been anything that has happened across all of history that God has been absent from. How utterly staggering. Before there was anything, he existed. And after everything's gone, he'll still exist. Jesus, speaking of himself, said, before Abraham was, I am. This morning we come to a God who is eternal. And when there was nothing, he existed. And when this earth is no more, he'll still exist. And he created all things. Colossians 1 and verse 15 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Revelation 4 and verse 9 says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and they say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your word, by your will, they were created and have their being. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6, there is one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Ephesians 3 and verse 8 says, although I am less than the least of all peoples, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Isaiah 44 and verse 24, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself. Nehemiah 9 and verse 6 says, you alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens and all the starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. He created everything. Everything finds its source in him. There is a difference between God's creation and ours. From time to time, we might make some stuff. You might be particularly artistic and produce some wonderful work of art. You might be musically gifted and write a wonderful song. You might bake something. You might do all sorts of things. You might build things, put things together, create things. But you are always taking what already exists and putting it into a different form. You are always doing that. When I paint, I don't paint. That's a lie. If I were to paint, I would take an already created piece of paper or a canvas that already exists and paints that already exist. I would take a brush that already exists, and together I would use them to make something, but they're all things that already exist and they're now used in a different form. If I were to build a house, I take raw materials and I put them together to build a house, but they already exist. When there was nothing, he called forth everything. Out of nothing, he made everything. See, I might think I'm creative at times, but I am not creative enough to create. Really, what I'm doing is fashioning. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but it staggered me this week. Even if I sit down to write, I take the words that already exist and I form them. If I were to create a word, thanks, Rue. If I were to create a word, I would take the letters that already exist and form them. Yet when there was nothing, he created everything. And he did so by his word. Psalm 33 in verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Hebrews 11 and verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. God created everything. And I'm not here this morning to enforce my creation view on you, because there are a variety of things people believe about how the world was created as Christians. I'll tell you what my view is. I believe God made the world in 6 days, that he spoke it into being, and then on the seventh day he rested. I believe that's God's revelation about himself in Exodus 20 and verse 11, giving the Ten Commandments to Moses and urging them to keep the Sabbath. The reason he does it is he said, for the Lord created the world in 6 days. And on the seventh day he rested. And I believe there are issues with other views of creation. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not sure how evolution works in the creation narrative, because The theory of evolution by natural selection relies on things dying, which means either creation was not perfect because death is an enemy of God that he is putting to death, or sin, the original sin, precedes humans. It gets complicated. I've lost half of you already. There are issues with it, but here's my conviction. God created the world in 6 days. He spoke it into being. But here's, if you don't believe that, I'm going to say there's some things you need to necessarily believe, which is that he existed before it all, and that he spoke it into existence. And that's an issue of faith. That's what Hebrews 11:3 tells me. It is an issue of faith. And creation reveals his glory to me. Romans 1 and verse 20. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. Creation reveals the glory of God to me. That as I look at the world around me and reflect on the fact that everything that exists came from him, that everything finds its source in him, that as I look at glorious sunsets, wonderful horizons, and go, this is the work of the Lord, it reveals the glory of God to me. It reminds me of his utter majesty, how great he truly is. But there is this danger, I think, which is that we believe it took it all out of him to do it. See, sometimes in order to explain the creation story and God resting, we say, and after he'd worked really hard, he rested. And we almost make it out like God was worn out. Here's the statement of Psalm 113 and verse 4. The Lord is exalted over all the nations. His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? The one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. Who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. The God that we've come to glorify this morning has to stoop down to look at the heavens and the earth. I don't know if you were ever a kid. I know you were a kid, I need to work on my syntax or something. But as a little person, you might be outside and see a nest of ants. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in that position. And the tendency was this. And now I stare, having stooped down to marvel at the ants. Because, obviously, I wasn't this tall as a kid. But from this distance, they're quite difficult to see. Some of you don't have that problem. God bless you. But I would stoop down. And then I'd start to interfere with them, and that probably wasn't right. But there are some things, they're so small, they require me to get closer. God stoops down to look at the heavens and the earth. He stoops down to look at them. They're not so utterly huge that he can't help but escape them. He stoops to see them. Isaiah 40 says the people of the earth are like grasshoppers in his eyes. Is it not incredible? Maybe it's just me. But as I consider the world that I live in, that seems so utterly big. It seems, I mean, at times we remark, oh, it's a small world when we meet people and there's some form of connection. But I don't think it's small when I have to walk. There's a gentleman who this year has ran the length of Africa. And it's widely disputed because people don't think it's possible. The world's a big place. My whole life is consumed within a very small part of it. There are people on the other side of the earth I give no thought or attention to. I struggle to keep up with everything that happens in the world. I struggle to be aware of the big events that happen in other parts of the world. Yet he stoops down to look at it. I have a very big God. From whom all things came. And he is my help. Psalm 124 and verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help is in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. What a privilege. What a joy. That the one who has seen all things across all of time, who existed before it all and called it all out of nothing, who has the power to speak and to create everything, he's my help this morning. That as I look at the starry sky, you won't see it tonight is my guess, looking at the weather out there. But as I wonder at the universe and the solar systems and the planets and all that's encompassed in space that science can't begin to keep up with, he's my help. Him who stretches out the starry sky, who calls forth the stars by name. He is my help. And there are times I have sought to get things fixed. I've bought a product, I've broke it, something's gone wrong, and I've taken it to someone to get it fixed. And often they do a wonderful job. But there are moments where they've gone, I don't know what to do with that. You're probably best sending it back to the manufacturer. You're probably best sending it back to the people who made it. Because they know it best. I have the opportunity, day in, day out, to call on the manufacturer of this world that I live in and everything that exists within it to help me, to put things right, to fix it. I have the opportunity to come again and again and go, Lord, and he knows me. He stoops down to look at the heavens, yet the number of hairs on my head are numbered. I want to marvel with you this morning at him. That when there was nothing, he was. How? I don't know. What does that mean? How long was there nothing? But from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. And nothing's going to take that place from him. And when there was nothing, he decided to create things. Not by fashioning the things around him together and making them look pretty. But he spoke things into existence. It's a power I don't begin to understand. Even as AI develops and I can speak to somebody and say, do this for me. They take information that is already in existence and they refashion it. Yet, when there was nothing, I'm laboring the point, but it feels like it matters. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And at times, I live with a very small God. Let me be honest with you. At times, I live as if God's got something to prove to me about his power. As if he's got something to demonstrate to me about what he can do. Yet day after day, I live in what he has created. From nothing. At times I get lost in the apparent bigness of my life. But the people are like grass. And the grass withers. And the flowers fade. But the word of the Lord stands forever. And I appreciate some of you need his help this morning. You need him to do something for you. You need to see him move. But I think it's helpful to remind yourself of how utterly he big he is. How utterly he big. That's a great phrase, isn't it? I tell you. It's a good job I didn't create the English language. How utterly big he is as you call on him. I think it's helpful to remind myself that from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. I think it's helpful for me to dwell on the greatness of God. And remind myself, he is the one who created the drizzle, mizzle stuff that's going on out there. And as much as I might not necessarily appreciate it as I should, he made it. And as I wake up in the morning and breathe in, I I don't breathe in oxygen because there's sufficient trees in the world to produce oxygen by taking in carbon dioxide. I breathe in because he made oxygen, because he formed my lungs, because he caused me to exist. He created me. And that's the truth of the Word of God. He formed me in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And that might sound quite arrogant, but the Bible says it. So, hey, check me out. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works he prepared in advance for me. I'm made this morning. I come from his hand. And I need to shut up. But it does you good when you remind yourself. He's so much bigger. He's so much bigger. There is a phrase that is utterly cheesy in one sense, but is utterly true. It says, don't tell God how big your mountain is. Tell your mountain how big your God is. And I don't know that there's any point speaking to the mountain necessarily about how big God is. But there is a point in speaking to yourself about how big he is. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. There is a worthwhile thing in telling myself to bless God, to remind myself of who he is. Because there is a world that seeks to steal that from me. There is an enemy that wants to lie to me about that. From him are all things. Shall we stand together and worship?